Hello, and welcome to the Upstreet podcast. Each week, I'll talk about aspects of language, literature, and culture, things that came up in classes. This week, a short story and the meanings of the word spell. Francisco Jiménez is a Mexican-American writer whose technically superb short story, The Circuit, describes a Mexican family working on Californian farms in the middle or late 1940s, and is based on his own family's experiences. The period in question saw the implementation of the Bracero program, which legalized immigrant labor in the United States. Under what was a pact between various government bodies, laborers were promised decent living conditions, such as adequate shelter, food, and sanitation, as well as a minimum wage pay of about 30 cents an hour. The agreement also stated that braceros would not be subject to discrimination, such as exclusion from white areas. The program was intended to fill the labor shortage in agriculture at the time. It actually lasted 22 years and offered employment contracts to 5 million braceros in the in 24 United States. It became the largest foreign worker program in US history. In the anthology I'm reading, the story is defined as detached autobiography, a form of fiction where we accept the version of events the narrator describes, as there's no mystery or doubt involved. We see things through the eyes of a character and have no reason to question them. Perhaps aware of this, Jiménez uses a number of sense references, taste and touch in particular. This synesthetic emphasis reinforces the presence of someone we accept as authentic. The family move from farm to farm, but as guaranteed by the law, they're provided with shelter, even if that is a barn with a dirt floor they have to clean, and walls with holes in them they stuff with newspaper. The narrator is a bright boy whose only too brief visit to a local school, another condition for minors under the law, reveals his desire and ability to learn. It's a brief visit because upon returning to the farm on his first day at school, the family is packed up again and ready to leave. There are two significant objects in this story, a car and a cooking pot. Here's the description of the pot. Everything was packed except Mama's pot. It was an old, large, galvanized pot she had picked up at an army surplus store in Santa Maria the year I was born. The pot had many dents and nicks, and the more dents and nicks it acquired, the more Mama liked it. Mi olla, she used to say proudly. I held the front door open as Mama carefully carried out her pot by both handles, making sure not to spill the cooked beans. When she got to the car, Papa reached out to help her with it. Roberto opened the rear car door, and Papa gently placed it on the floor behind the front seat. All of us then climbed in. Papa sighed, wiped the sweat off his forehead with his sleeve, and said wearily, "Es todo." It's just a pot, but it's also symbolic of the need to sustain a migrant family. It's portable and resilient, like its owner. In fact, it's the mother who negotiates work with the farmers, who speaks English and finds work. Thus, she provides access to food and the food itself. It was someone who reads very carefully and creatively who pointed out to me in class the importance of the description of the car, and compared it to the cars that appear in Raymond Carver stories as symbols of materialism and social respectability. But for the father in this story, the pride in his car admits of a more positive reading. While we packed the breakfast dishes, Papa went outside to start the Carranchita. That was the name he'd given his old 38 Black Plymouth. He bought it in a used car lot in Santa Rosa in the winter of 49. He was proud of his little jalopy. He had a right to be proud of it, He spent a lot of time looking at other cars before buying this one. When he finally chose the Carantita, he checked it thoroughly before driving it out of the car lot. He examined every inch of the car. He listened to the motor, tilting his head from side to side like a parrot, trying to detect any noises that spelled car trouble. After being satisfied with the looks and the sounds of the car, he insisted on knowing who the original owner was. He never did find out from the car salesman, but he bought the car anyway. Papa figured the original owner must have been an important man, because behind the rear seat of the car, he found a blue necktie. It's the car as the home they don't have. In this life of mobility, the father is proud of the vehicle he's provided for his family. It's the best he could get and the best he could do. At one farm, he lets his wife and the younger children sleep in the barn on their single mattress. He prefers to sleep outside, under the stars. And why not? The car is his house, his castle, not the accommodation provided by law. His family is surviving, and with his Plymouth 38, he has achieved his piece of the American dream. Meanings of the word spell. This came up this week in a class and we talked about the different meanings, and I went away and looked a little bit at some of the origins of these words. First of all, spell meaning a magical spell, an incantation or phrase that produces a magical effect. In older English, it also meant a story or a tale. This appears in several expressions, to be under someone's spell, fascinated by them or powerfully influenced, to cast one's spell, impress, influence, or entrance, and the word spellbound, when you cannot avoid getting something, giving something your whole attention. Sorry, I meant influence or entrance. Secondly, the verb to spell, as in to spell using letters. This is from the 14th century. It seems a French influence displaced or merged with the old English meaning of spell, which is more to speak or to talk. Perhaps we see this older meaning in an expression like this spells trouble, where the idea of this speaks to us of potential trouble sounds more likely a metaphor than this situation suggests a word related to trouble. And thirdly, spell as a period of time, usually of short duration. Originally, this was used to describe replacing someone and doing the same work, a kind of shift work, or a turn of work, as it was defined in the 1620s. Interestingly, Spanish uses the word turno to mean shift work. Thus, the original meaning was not a short period of time, although the word gradually took on the meaning of a short rest or interval. Used now in a number of collocations, the sense is of a short period. A dizzy spell, a sunny spell, a spell of bad weather, a quiet spell. You might also hear it used in phrases like, this is his second spell in charge of the national team, or he's working for a spell as a waiter until he starts his degree.